with us tonight for just a moment. I want to preach just a phrase. I'm going to be honest with you. I brought three or four sermons with me, but this one phrase just kept staying on my mind this afternoon, and I just want to be sensitive to the Lord after the service this morning. I don't want to do anything God's not in. We can't repeat a service, amen, but the Lord kept putting this phrase on my heart. I want to preach on it a few minutes tonight. Jude 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, but I'm going to read just a part of a verse. And I came tonight as I was sitting over there as they were singing that song. The Lord just gave me a few thoughts I'm going to give to you tonight. And I pray that God will speak to someone's heart in a personal manner. You know, we've gained some ground today. And let's don't lose the ground we've gained. Amen. Let's keep gaining ground. Revival. The revival meeting, which is just a revival meeting, is scheduled here in a few weeks. But wouldn't it be good if we got in a spirit of revival and if God was already working, the waters was already stirred before Brother Green even got here. And if he was here tonight, he would tell you this: no preacher can bring revival. I believe he's a great man of prayer, and I believe he'll come with a burden, and he'll no doubt preach the Word of God to us. But it's something bigger than just having a scheduled meeting, and it's just having God here every time we come and having God do something in all of our lives, amen, in our homes and our children. And we need that, amen. We need to be where God is, amen. And so I want to be sensitive. I don't want to just deliver a sermon tonight. I want to preach something that I feel like the Lord has impressed upon my heart. In Jude, in verse, I'm not going to have you stand tonight just for the reading of a phrase. Jude, verse 11, the Bible says, "Woe unto them," notice this, "for they have gone in the way of Cain." Father, I ask you tonight, if you would, to speak to hearts. You know the burden that you placed on my heart tonight. And I ask you to save somebody in this building that's lost. I pray that for some young person that may be struggling with the way of the world, maybe some adult that may be struggling with the way of the world tonight, maybe some hidden sin, Lord, that is in our midst tonight that only you know about. God, I pray that you'll take this message and speak to us. Help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this thought, on they went the wrong way. They went the wrong way. Notice the Bible says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." So here in this verse, the Bible, of course, talking about apostates, we understand that, but it talks about the way of Cain, the heir of Balaam, and then the gainsaying of Korah. Now, just for a brief note, we would note tonight that Cain rejected the blood, and we know that Balaam sold out for money, and that Korah disrespected the man of God. And so when we think about apostates, they have all three of those words working in their life. They reject the blood, they are about money, they will sell out for money, and they disrespect real men of God and people of God. But I want us to think about the way of Cain, and to really think about the way of Cain, we would have to go back to Genesis chapter number 4 tonight, and you can go home and read it later, those first 10 to 12 verses in that chapter, and we'll not labor those verses tonight, but you know the story of Cain and the story of Abel, and you know the beginning, and you know the in-between and the outcome. And I want us to think about Cain's way tonight, because there is a lot of people that have gone the way of Cain. I think about Psalms 126 and verse number 5. The Bible said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And I think if there's anything that we need in this hour tonight, we need a greater burden for sinners, and we need a greater burden for souls tonight. We need a greater burden for our family and our friends, and we need a greater burden for people that are going the wrong way. And I want to say tonight, there may be a young person sitting here. I'm just telling you whatever's in my heart tonight. There may be a young person sitting here tonight, and you're just playing with fire and sitting on the fence, and you think you got everybody fooled, and you think everybody knows, thinks you're going in one way, but in your heart of hearts, you want to go another way. Well, I want to tell you, the Bible said in Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, that verse is still in the book, by the way. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And God knows the very thoughts and he knows the very intents of our heart. I want you to know tonight, whether you're young or whether you're old or whether you're middle-aged, it is God that decides if our heart is going to beat another beat or if we're going to take another breath. And our life is in his hands tonight. And if I was in this building lost, I'd get saved. If I was in this building backslid, I'd get right with God. If I was in this building tonight entertaining the pleasures of sin, I would get right tonight for fear of what God may do to me. Amen. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, we'll get to this thought in a minute, but the Bible said the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. That's Proverbs 10 and verse 27, but Proverbs 1 and verse 7 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you turn a deaf ear to the preaching of God's word, it doesn't matter who the preacher is, if you turn a deaf ear to God's word tonight, you'll surely give an account of it in the day of judgment. But I want you to know you'll reap it in this life. For the Bible says, for whatsoever man soweth, of that shall he also reap. Be not deceived. The Bible said, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, of that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'm telling you, this book don't lie. Amen. And the author of this book don't lie. And the Holy Ghost don't lie. And when God sends us solemn warning, I'm telling you, we ought to pay close attention. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not saved or you're not right with God, don't go the wrong way tonight. Amen. Been a lot of them went the wrong way, hadn't they? And when I think about the way of Cain, I just jotted these down a few moments ago. I'll give them to you and be done. When I think about the way of Cain tonight, number one, I would say it was a religious way. You see, Cain knew how to worship. Cain knew how to offer up burnt offerings and sacrifice. In fact, Cain had been doing that ever since he had came into this life. He was born into a good family that was taught how to worship by God himself. For it was God in Genesis chapter number 3 that slew those animals and made coats of skin for Adam and Eve. And it was God that taught Adam how to give a blood sacrifice and to offer up blood on a mercy seat before the altar of God. And Cain and Abel grew up as little boys, and could I just put it this way, they grew up in a religious household. They grew up at that time of the year that was appointed whenever they would come and they would offer sacrifice before the Lord. They knew well what it was to worship, and they knew well what it was. Adam taught them well, for Adam could tell them the very details, the intimate details of what it was like to live in the garden, the cost of sin, what it would cost them, and the punishment and the penalty and the price of sin. And they knew well what it was and what it meant to put the blood, and why the blood was required to be an offering and a covering for their sin. They knew all about that. Young people, they was raised in a religious atmosphere. And the way of Cain is that he rejected what was offered before him. Cain went through the rituals. He went through the way of worship. He knew all about it. He knew how to do it. And Cain went that way because that's what his daddy did. That's what the family did. He went there time and time again, a lot like people that are grown up under a King James Bible in an old-fashioned church, and they've heard the gospel time and time again, and they've heard preaching and said in more services than they can ever remember. It's what they've known from the time they were born. They were just raised this way. But you see, it's not personal, like it wasn't personal to Cain. It's nothing more than religious formality. If you want to know why Cain could walk away from it so easy, it's because it never meant nothing to him to begin with. And if you want to know why some people can be raised in a Christian home and raised on a family altar and carry a King James Bible and go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and then one day, just like flipping a switch, they can walk away from it, the reason is because it never meant anything to them. It never became personal in their life. They're still living that same life. In their heart, there's no different. I'm telling you, hear me tonight. If there's no desire to live for God, if there's never been a desire to live for God, if church is a drudgery, if you have to endure service after service, and you'd rather be out there than you would be in here, and you've always wanted to be out there rather than be in here, and there's a longing in your heart to go that way rather than to live this way, you're religious, but you're lost tonight. Amen. Never been saved. Brother, I'm telling you, when God saves you, I'm telling you, take one of these boys, get saved off one of these church pews, and this is all they've ever known, I tell you what he will do. God will put a desire in your heart to want to live for him. You know, I was thinking about Brother Garrett Soulsby today. And I was thinking about him this afternoon when he got saved. We was on a summer trip and raised in a Christian home. I don't have to elaborate that. I remember when Brother Lamar and Miss Mindy came here, and many of you do. And I remember years ago, and I don't know why, I just remember this in my mind, preaching one Sunday and having service, and I was up preaching. They was visiting here, and I remember, Spencer, I remember you and Garrett just running. I reckon you was going to the restroom or something. It was right in the middle of service, and I remember two little old red-headed boys walking across that aisle, and they wasn't hardly, if they was as tall as the back of them pews, I don't know, they just two little, so I thought, man, they look like two farmer boys walking across through there, and they went to, I didn't know who they were, but raised in this church all these years. But I tell you, raised in a good church don't mean you're going to heaven. Amen. Having a mama saved and a daddy that's saved doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Amen. I remember carrying a burden and praying, and my wife praying and wondering if them boys was really saved or not. And we was on that summer trip, and we got in one of those houses and got to singing. And Brother Barnes, I'm telling you, he got plugged in a preaching. Amen. I'm telling you, it felt like about 10 acres of heaven fell down in that little old living room. I'm telling you, God started moving. And when the invitation was given, Brother Garrett came out of the corner somewhere and got on that coffee table. And without even saying anything, I'm telling you, you could tell by his countenance. And when he went down, you could tell he went down a sinner. But when he came up, hallelujah, you could look and tell it was something different in his life. You say, what happened? He got more in religion. Amen. I'm telling you, he got born again. Young people, hear me. You must be born again. Hallelujah. Doesn't make no difference who your mom and daddy is. That made no difference what church you go to. That made no difference how many King James Bibles you told the church. It doesn't matter how many times you hear the gospel. I'm telling you, if God don't break your will, and if you don't get broken about your sin, if you don't see yourself lost, you'll slide into hell just like everybody else. I'm telling you, you got to have more than religion. You need to be saved. Amen. Amen. Need to be saved. Are you saved tonight? Is everybody in this church saved tonight? I didn't come to preach this message. God gave it to me sitting right there. I'm telling you, are you saved? Mama, are you saved? Daddy, are you saved tonight? A teenager, are you saved? Are you saved? I'm telling you, can you say in your heart tonight, you got more than religion? Amen. When you sing in that choir, does them words mean anything to you? Are you saved? The way of Cain was a religious way. Cain was religious, but lost. I want to say tonight, not only was it a religious way, but it was a rebellious way. Cain went his own way. When Cain offered the first fruits of his offering, he knew well that God wasn't going to accept that. He knew well that was the way, that was not the way that he had been taught. You hear me tonight? Why would he do that? Because he was a rebel at heart. Because Cain said, it'll be God will either accept me on my terms, he will either accept the works of my hand, or he will not accept me at all. Cain, when he offered that first fruit, the problem with that fruit was there was no blood in it. And listen, an offering without a blood sacrifice is no good. And Cain didn't want anything to do with that bloody religion. He didn't want anything to do with that old time religion of his parents. And so Cain rebelled, and Cain said, I'll offer this to God, and God can take it or God can leave it. I'm going to tell you, friend, God left it. But he more than left that. He left Cain that day. And you hear me, God's not going to bargain with nobody. God's not going to meet nobody on their terms. I'm telling you, if you get in the family of God, you're coming God's way, or it's no way. You'll come the way of the cross. You'll come by the shed blood of Calvary. You'll repent of your sins. You'll put faith in Jesus Christ, or you'll die and go to hell. God's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who Cain was. Cain was going to have to get in the same way Abel got in. And sinner, you hear me tonight. You say, but I go to church. I've been in Sunday school all my life. That's just hogwash. It's not going to merit you anything. When it comes to salvation, you're going to have to come and humble yourself this evening. Amen. Some people will go to hell with their neck stiffened and with their hands clutched. But I want to tell you, it won't take a half a second into the flames of hell, and they'll wish a thousand times. You're going to let pride send you to hell. You're going to rebel. I wonder tonight if there's a young person that would be so foolish to think that as soon as I can, I'm going my own way, doing my own thing. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that, listen, you've said, well, I'm going to stay in church, and I'm even going to stay in this church, but God's going to have to meet me my way. He's not going to do that. He'll let you sit on that pew the rest of your life and die and go to hell. I'm telling you, friend, this generation needs to understand that the only way with God, the only way up is down. We must humble ourselves. The Bible still says God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. I'm telling you tonight, if you want grace, you have to humble yourself. If you want God to resist you, you stick your chest out and say, it's not that way. I'll go another way. And there's a lot of hirelings, and there's a lot of people that'll take you into their so-called fold and say, you don't have to go that way. You can come over here and it's a whole lot easier. I'm telling you, but it doesn't line up with this Bible. I'm telling you, you got to be under conviction to be saved. You got to see yourself lost. And conviction is when God turns the light on and you have knowledge and you have understanding that you know you need to be saved. And if God ever turns the light on, you ought to count yourself a blessed individual, and you need to come running. But don't rebel against God. Don't rebel against your parents. When Cain went his way, he rebelled against his father. He rebelled against his own brother. And he rebelled against God Almighty. And tonight there are people that don't care if they break their parents' heart. They don't care how many tears that they shed. They don't care how many sleepless nights that they lay in the bed. They don't care what the preacher says or what the church, how the church is concerned for them. They don't care what the end result is. Somehow they've been fooled into thinking that they'll go their own way and life will be better. But the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. You mark it down. You go away from God and you walk away from this book. You'll pay a high price for it. You say, well, maybe I'll get right with God one day. Maybe you will, but maybe you won't. But if you do, I promise you one thing, the scars of sin will run so deep that you'll be sorry the rest of your life, and you'll wish for the day that you could have your youth back and a clean slate. You'll wish for the day that you could come back to God. If you could have done it all over again, you'll say a thousand times over, I wish I'd have never went this way. I wish I'd have never done these things. I mean, I'm telling you, I feel in my soul tonight that God's drawing somebody. I'm just telling you, friend, hear me and hear me well tonight. If you go that way, you will pay a high price the rest of your life. You know, one of the hardest things to do as a preacher is to preach on some sins that you know that good people sitting in the congregation have been guilty of in the past. Now, they've been right with God and they have experienced the grace of God, and you have to preach on these sins because you don't want other people to go that way, and it ought to be preached on. But there's a pastor, you feel sorry for others who have to listen. Because even though you know and they know the grace of God is sufficient, they have regrets. Tonight, I won't do this, but if we was to stand the prodigals up in this building tonight who have gotten right with God, Every one of them would tell you the same thing. I wished I never went to the far country. Strip you of everything you got. Rob you of your purity. Rob you of every good thing that God and your parents has ever gave you. You go to the far country. And it ain't just young people. I'll tell you, there's probably some adult here tonight. You're in the far country already. Looking at things you're not supposed to be looking at. Contemplating things you're not supposed to be contemplating. I'm telling you tonight, adultery. A man's a fool to think he can commit adultery and that God won't uncover it. God jerked and uncovered the sin of adultery in the life of David. He uncovered it in even the life of Herod, a lost man. God will always have a Nathan that will point the finger in the face of an adulterer and say, thou art the man, and the sword will never depart. I'm telling you tonight, a one-night cheapened stand. I'm telling you, get hooked up with some hussy out there and think you're going to have a good time and life's going to get better. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's out of church, but sometimes it's in church. And I don't know why I feel like I ought to plow that up just a little bit. I'm telling you, you better keep your distance. You better stay on your side of the pew. You better keep your husband close. Better keep your wife close. You better keep the boundaries up. You better keep the guards up. You better keep all the things in place. Don't be so foolish to think that you're going to slip behind the curtain somewhere and God ain't going to pull the cover off that thing. I'm telling you, God will let the whole world see what you're doing. God will let you have more trouble than you'll wish you ever had. You better run scared. You hear me tonight? You better run scared tonight. And I'm telling you, don't rebel. You need to get right with God. Amen. Wouldn't it be terrible if somebody in this church committed adultery? You imagine the devastation it would do to the home, the children, and to this church. I pray against it every day. And I believe there's been times God has probably removed people to salvage the church. I don't know why I'm preaching on it so much tonight, but I tell you, it's a scary thought to me. And it even scares me for my own self. I don't want to go anywhere, so I don't travel anywhere. People lie on you today, and I'm telling you a lie. I get you in much trouble as the truth nowadays. Amen. And you better keep your wife, your husband, very close to you. I understand people have to travel sometimes and they don't have that privilege. I'm not beating up on that. There's evangelists, there's business people. Please don't misunderstand me. I just have that opportunity. Why not take that opportunity? Amen. But I'm telling you, we're living in some dangerous times when people, they don't think twice. I mean, they'll live like dogs and they'll lay like animals. Amen. They don't care what kind of dreaded diseases they get, and they don't care what kind of diseases they give. Amen. And one of the best or one of the most terrible ways to mess your life up is to get hooked up with somebody. Listen, if they'll cheat on you, they'll cheat on somebody else. You know that tonight, don't you? I'm telling you, you can't trust a cheater. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Amen. You know that's the truth. Now if somebody gets right with God, I'm not talking about that. God's grace can suffice. I'm talking about somebody out there looking for somebody. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about somebody tonight. Some homewrecker out there is what I'm talking about. It doesn't care whose hearts they break. Doesn't care what lives they disassemble. I'm telling you tonight, I'm trying to preach on rebellion, but I can't get off adultery right now. And I'm just telling you, it's got to be plowed up in 2024 because people shack up and they live like animals, and they'll go to church and sing Amazing Grace. They'll go to Sunday school class and act like they're right with God. Somebody's got to preach on it, amen. It's real tonight. Now I know people have committed adultery and got right with God. David got right with God. And I know God forgives it. And when God forgives somebody, we should never hold over their head. If they've lived right and they've done right, then we ought to put it behind. Isn't that right? But I want to say for the individual that's in this congregation tonight that would be so absent-minded and foolish that you got some thought in your head about somebody tonight. Well, preacher, I'd never act on it. If you think on it long enough, it may not be with them because they may not give you the opportunity. But you best assure you think on it long enough, the devil will send some little hussy by. Amen. To ruin your life and your family. Like they sung tonight. Just think about it. Has God been good to you? Amen. You got a good wife. Why would you even want to think about that? You got a good husband. And I tell you tonight, some people's got one and they don't even know it. Can I get an amen right there? They've read too many romance novels. They've watched too many, listen, they've watched too many Lifetime movies. Amen. They've let Hollywood pump all that mess in their mind. And listen, they've looked at something, and there's men the same way that, listen, they've got hooked on the internet, and they've looked at things that, listen, if this church knew tonight, they would be embarrassed and never walk back through the doors again. But they've looked at stuff on their phones. They've looked at stuff on the internet. They've looked at things, and they don't think nobody knows about it. Well, I'm telling you, God knows about it, and God's letting me know about it right now. Amen. And the best thing you can do is get right with God about it, get some accountability in your life, and get rid of whatever things it is that's ruining your mind and corrupting your heart, and bring you to a place where you don't even appreciate the good wife or the good husband that God has given you. I'm telling you tonight, you ought to look down that pew and you ought to thank God 1,000 times for who He's put in your life, and you ought to pray for your spouse every day. You want to love your spouse like you should, pray for them every day. And listen, sometimes people are always so fed up with their spouse because they got somebody else on their mind. Never thought I'd preach on this tonight, but I ain't apologizing. Always down on her spouse. Better be careful. You see somebody always talking bad about their spouse, but they're sweet to everybody else. Amen. I mean, you treat them like they got the plague. Amen. I think to have revival, we all just preach on all this stuff tonight. Might clean out a few tunnels, amen. What could be bogging this church down a little bit tonight could be somebody might could be planning something that the Holy Ghost knows. And I pray that God scares you literally out of your mind tonight to the point you get right with God. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, I don't trust this stuff right here. Mine's just like everybody else's. Brother, I'm telling you, left to myself, there ain't no telling what this flesh is. And I'm telling you, preaching tonight like this scares me to death. Do a lot of praying. You pray for me. Will you pray for me? You pray for me. But I want to keep her as close as I can. Not because I'm that spiritual, because I know this stuff tonight. I ain't got a, Brother Laddie, God knows my heart, I ain't got a desire one to hurt my wife. But I ain't going to put any confidence in this stuff tonight. It's as wicked today as it was the day God saved me. A man can be, listen, he can be fat and bald-headed. But God, if you ain't careful, God will give you a warning. A man can be fat and bald-headed. He can be as ugly. I mean, he can look like he fell out of the top of the ugly tree and hit every single limb coming down. But I promise you, there's somebody out there. Strange woman. And you young girls, look up here at me. I don't think nobody does it. You be careful what you do with your eyes. Amen. That's what Proverbs talks about, isn't it? Strange woman. She knows how to move them eyes, don't she? You be careful. You don't make eye contact and stare in a man's eyes. Amen. It's quiet now, but it's going to be a whole lot more quieter. I'm just telling you tonight, church, it's eating our country up. And it's eating our pulpits up, what I'm preaching on. It ain't nothing to hear of it no more. I tell you, don't you want to finish right? I want to finish right tonight. I don't want to bring shame and disgrace to my Lord, to my home, and to my church. I want to finish right. And tonight, sin is so accessible today that you have to keep accountability on every level or it'll ruin you tonight. Rebellious way. I wonder if there's somebody here that Maybe in your heart you've been thinking about going another way, not caring who you would hurt tonight. You go the way of Cain, it's a rebellious way. You know, preaching tonight will, and it doesn't matter, it's your pastor included. I'm telling you, preaching will always speak to you. There's a lot of sermons down through the years you preach, and when the Lord would lay a message on my heart, I'd have to get down on my knees in my office and say, Lord, first of all, I want to ask you to cleanse me and forgive me where I've fallen short. I'm being honest with you tonight. It's just the flesh, isn't it? But I thank God for preaching. I thank God for every time the preacher got up and just preached the Word of God and plowed up my pew. And I'm telling you tonight, I feel like ain't probably somebody sitting here tonight with rebellion in your heart. I'm not a prophet and I can't see nobody's heart, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's giving me clear liberty tonight about what I'm preaching home. Don't rebel against God. And you know, you may stay in church and you may never say or act upon the things that's in your heart, but if you don't get it out of your heart, you're a rebel at heart, and that's just as bad, because God looks on the heart tonight. I'm telling you, it would be that God could send revival to our church and every other church if we could just shed any rebellion that may be there, if we could get broken, if we could get humble. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight, you need to come down this aisle. Not because I'm saying so, but because you already know in your heart that this message is for you. You know God's speaking to your heart tonight. Nobody else may not know, but God's done got your number. He done sat down on a pew where you're at right now, and you know as sure as I'm standing here, he didn't give me that sermon sitting there just to be preaching, but he gave it because he's trying to get your attention tonight. Don't you rebel. Don't you go the wrong way. Hey, there's a lot of them tonight, they went the wrong way, and their lives is utterly ruined tonight. Rebellious. And then I will say tonight, it's not only a religious way, a rebellious way, but it's a rough way. God put a mark on Cain. And that was a mark of judgment in one sense, but it was also a mark of mercy. Because had God not put that mark on him, Cain said, they'll kill me, sure as the world. I don't know what that mark was. Others have speculated, but I have no idea what that mark was. But I know this much, it was visible for all to see. It must have been, and I'm speculating, it must have been somewhere on his face or his arms in some form or some fashion that people could see it immediately. And Cain had to bear the mark of his rebellion. He lived a rough life the rest of his life. You want to live a rough life, you go against God. You want to live a rough life, you decide to go your own way. That's what Cain would say. Cain's life was rough in this sense. Hear me tonight. Is that it took him away from his home, Adam and Eve. It took him away from those good parents that he had. Things were never the same again. He went out and built a city. It was rough in the sense that it destroyed his heritage. A young man that had so much promise. A young man that his life didn't have to turn out like his parents. He was taught better. He learned better. And he could have been something great for God. He had a brother that loved him, and a mother and a dad that loved him. And he could have had a sweet relationship with God. He could have walked in the right way, in the right path. But his rebellion led him down a rough path. A path that ended in a terrible way. And I want to tell you that tonight, I really believe God is just sounding a warning out to someone or someone's tonight. Don't go your own way. Hey, listen tonight. If you've listened to somebody else and you bought into some kind of thinking that's not right, that's against the way of the Bible, or the way that your parents have taught you, or the way the man of God has preached to you from this book, you better wise up tonight and listen. God doesn't make no mistakes, and there's no circumstances or just chances in life. But I believe things are providential, and I believe God is sovereign enough on a Sunday night to send the message out of nowhere to get so personal in somebody's life to remind you that if you don't listen and you don't take heed and you don't take warning tonight, you're about to go a rough path. Amen. It led him away from his holy father. Cain never did get right with God. He just went further and further and further. Isn't that what people do? When they rebel and they go down that path. How many of you tonight, you don't have to raise your hand. Think about this. How many of us tonight have seen people get away from God, get out of church? Maybe they're lost. Maybe they're backslid. I don't know, but they get out there. And then some tragedy happens in their life. And, you know, in our minds we think, well, hey, maybe this is going to get them their attention. And they're going to come back only to find out they just keep going. And then sometimes when you try to be, you know, compassionate and you try to talk to them and you try to say, now listen, not being judgmental, but you need to think about what's happened. You need to think about where your life is and where you were here, but now you've went this way. Look where things are at. And almost you would think it would break them. Almost you think that would get their attention, but instead their heart has got harder. And they'll turn you away. The further you go away from God, the harder your heart gets. The rougher the way is tonight. I don't know. But I would say, wouldn't you want to have a good life? God wants the best for all of us. You know why Satan talks? I was talking to somebody just a while ago before church started. And he told me something. It was a blessing to me. And I said to him, I said, you know what you just said? I said, the devil, he talks to every one of us that same way that you just said to me. And it's amazing how the devil's always trying to put some thoughts in our head that don't need to be there. And it ain't always wicked, sinful things, but it's just evil surmisings. It's little things to try to pull us in a different path, to get us to see something in a different way other than this book. Because he knows if he can ever get you to start that journey, the chances are you'll never come back. I'll say finally tonight, it was a ruined way. You know the story of his life. The devil ruined Cain's life, ruined his body, and ruined his soul. Cain is in hell tonight. But Cain didn't start out on his way to hell as far as a rebel. Cain started out a little boy with godly parents and an altar and a sacrifice and all kinds of hope and promise. But Cain went his way, not God's way. You know, that's the question tonight. Which way are you going to go? You going God's way or your way? You could be going God's way, and at any moment you can take a detour. But I don't want to do that tonight. I wonder why our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to give a different proposition. And if you need to use the altar for some other reason or God speaks to you in some other way, that's all right. But I want to give a specific proposition tonight. Is there somebody here tonight that you've been thinking about committing adultery? You've been thinking about it. You ought to consider the sermon tonight as a warning from God. And you ought to come and get right with God about that tonight. You ought to be fearful to go through with whatever it is you're thinking about going through. And then tonight, if there's somebody here, you're thinking about just, I don't have a desire to live this way. I don't want to live this way. And I'm going to go another way. You ought to ask yourself, number one, are you saved tonight? Are you saved? Have you ever had a true desire to live for Jesus? Or has there always been a desire to go the other way? How about that tonight? And if you know you're saved, where have you backslid? Where have you backslid? Tonight as we stand, God's people are praying. And there may be another reason you need to come. And I want you to come if you need to. I just want to stay in the right way. That good way. Them old paths. And tonight if you need to come and pray about something, you're someone, you just obey God while we sing tonight.